Happy New Year! You're listening to Speak Up Arkansas with Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. I'm Rebecca Zerman. Many of us take for granted having access to a grocery store, having money to buy food for our families, and much less buying healthy food for our families. But Arkansas has one of the highest rates of food insecurity in the nation. From children to older adults, hunger is a frequent reality for many Arkansans. Today, we'll be talking about hunger in Arkansas with two guests, Melvin Clayton, Racial Equity Director at Arkansas Advocates, and Tomiko Townley, Advocacy Director at Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Tommy, can you talk about the work of Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance? And Melvin, for those who haven't tuned into our show before, can you explain about the work of Arkansas Advocates?
Sure. So the Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance is the statewide voice against hunger. And hunger is really defined as it's a physical symptom. So really what we're fighting against is food insecurity. And food insecurity is exactly what it sounds like. When families or individuals don't know where their next meal is coming from, access is a huge part of food insecurity. So if you have no transportation, if you have a physical disability that makes it hard to get around, if you have a low literacy level, or if you are struggling to know how to read, all of those things really do contribute to your ability to access food and access supports for food. So in Arkansas, 1 in 4 children are food insecure. They don't know where their next meal is coming from at some point during the year. And for adults, it's more like 1 in 6 adults in Arkansas don't know where their next meal is coming from at some point in the year. That can be maybe once a month they don't know because their budget gets really tight at the end of the month. It could be a weekly occurrence. We know that there is a large homeless population, especially in our metro areas of the state. But the way that Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance is combating this food insecurity in the state is through supporting access to federal nutrition programs. So our No Kid Hungry team really works through the school districts and making sure that kids have meals where they live, learn, and play. Making sure that breakfast is available either in the classroom or really, that's the ideal model, is that every student has access to school breakfast and can eat that meal together. I know I was one of the students that would show up early to have breakfast, and if my friends were playing out on the playground, I didn't want to go in and be the only lonely kid eating breakfast. If I was eating breakfast with my classmates in the classroom, I know I would have participated in that program more. So breakfast in the classroom, out of school meals is another program with the No Kid Hungry campaign. And that's making sure that kids have access to food on winter breaks, summer breaks, spring break, anytime that school is not in session. We know that families who are living in poverty really struggle to make sure that their kids have access to healthy meals outside of the school because schools offer 2 free meals a day when they're in session. Cooking Matters is another program in the No Kid Hungry campaign, and that's nutrition education. So really working with the primary audience is caregivers of children 0 to 5, because we know that those habit changing actions really make a huge impact for kids that are developing. But it's making sure that they have the skills necessary to create and build recipes so that healthy meals are available for their families, and not doing that in a shamey kind of way, but really using the resources that they have available. One of my favorite stories about Cooking Matters is that there was a community where the dollar store was really the only retailer in the area. And so they did a shopping tour at the Dollar Tree, and they were able to find some healthy items. There are some great canned items. There were some frozen items that were available, and you can make a healthy meal with what you have available if you know what to do with it. So they're working with people where they are and making sure that it's not a scary thing to try new foods and to incorporate healthy items into your diet. We also do gleaning, working with farmers around the state to make sure that produce is not wasted and left on the field. And then we also have a SNAP outreach team that works directly with eligible, SNAP eligible households to make sure they can access food assistance. And SNAP is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And we know that SNAP works when people have access to that program. So we want to see that program expanded and the participation rates increase for eligible households. I think that covered everything. SNAP, cooking matters, out-of-school meals, breakfast in the classroom, gleaning. We're good. Yes, and then I work on advocacy.
That's one hand, people. Five hands.
Okay, and so Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families, we are the preeminent group in the state of Arkansas focused on creating better outcomes for children and families, low-income children and families. We do a ton of policy research, and the focus areas that we work in are healthcare, education, child welfare, juvenile justice, economic security, tax and budget. And so the work that we do, you know, we work year round, thinking of policy agendas and things like that. But a lot of the work is really done during our legislative session. So we're looking ahead right now to the 2021 legislative session on kind of what we can do to create those better outcomes for children and families here in the state of Arkansas.
And so, Tommy, you talked about the difference between hunger and food insecurity, but what does food insecurity look like in Arkansas?
I think that food insecurity really manifests in a lot of different ways. Nobody is jumping at the opportunity to be the face of food insecurity. So oftentimes food insecurity can be a silent issue that people are facing. It can be an invisible issue. It looks like, unfortunately, grandparents, children, across the spectrum. So it does not discriminate against people. Really, food insecurity can look like making really tough decisions. And also it can look like very resilient people who have made the best use of the resources they have access to. But because there is so much stigma around being a person living in poverty and a person facing food insecurity, it really takes relationship building to build trust with folks enough to allow them to share that they're facing a challenge. But that happens through, you know, people show themselves when there are opportunities available to access food. So if you don't think that food insecurity exists in your community, I want to tell you that that's wrong. You may not see it every single day because it's not a part of your routine. But unfortunately, there are many people that are facing food insecurity that fall into some of our most vulnerable populations. So Arkansas has been ranked, you know, in the top three for older adult hunger for the past 5 years. We've also been teetering around the first and second and third and fourth for childhood food insecurity for the past 5 years. And I don't think that there's one face of food insecurity. We know that it does disproportionately impact, and poverty disproportionately impacts communities of color, and that policies that really take away food assistance from people make it even harder for this issue to be addressed in a really comprehensive way. So I don't know how to really accurately describe what food insecurity looks like, but I can tell you that the people I've been able to interact with around the state in helping them apply for SNAP, or collecting or listening to stories from people, really there's a lot of shame associated with being a person that's facing food insecurity. Like, they've done something wrong to be in that position, when we know that that's just not the case. Especially our older adults are still, some of them are still recovering from the recession. They were very comfortable pre-recession and then maybe lost a home or had a medical emergency and have had a really, really hard time surviving on a super fixed income. So that's kind of when I think about food insecurity in our state, because I've primarily focused on serving older adults, I think of like a grandparent that's taking care of a young grandchild.
And I do want to talk more about policy in just a minute, but some of our listeners may need to access those services or have questions about those services. Can for those of our listeners who are food insecure, can you talk about different programs that they can access and how to go through that process?
Absolutely. So for children, there are more services available than for the general population. Typically, if kids are in school, they're going to have access to those school meals. And turning in paperwork is incredibly important at the beginning of the year around free and reduced meals. So if you are living in poverty, filling out the form that might allow your child to access a free lunch is incredibly important, not only for families, but for the school district, because then they can get reimbursed for those meals. Also, out-of-school meals, check with your local library, because the libraries will often have free meals. I know in Pulaski County, the Be Mighty campaign makes food available outside of the school year. And then we do have some community partners that are also offering those free and reduced meals. I'm going to look it up in a second, but there's a number you can text to find free and reduced meals over the summer. For adults, there are food pantries available. There are six food banks in our state, located in Little Rock, Mountain Home, Fort Smith, Northwest Arkansas, and in Texarkana, and Northeast Arkansas in Jonesboro. And that's going to be the best source of finding who your food pantries are. Food pantries are really not going to be able to offer you meals every single day, but they do have emergency food if that's a food crisis that you're facing.
So that people can contact the food bank to find out where their food... So the food bank is... they give food to the pantries, and you go to the food pantry to get...
Thank you for that. Yes, for the clarification. Food banks are really the warehouses, and they do a lot of the aggregating of the food resources, and then that is distributed out to the food pantries. So the food pantries are the direct service sites. We have a list of food pantries on our website, but I think it's a little bit more user-friendly if you can find your local food bank, and they'll have the information about the food pantries. And then we've got SNAP, which is an incredible resource. The Department of Human Services and the Division of County Operations really administer the SNAP program. So your DHS office, there's one in every county in Arkansas. In Pulaski County, we have more than one office because we're such a large county. But your DHS office is where you can apply for SNAP. You can also call the Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance office at 501-399-9999. And we can try to find a local SNAP volunteer that can help you complete that form if that's something that you need help with. But the SNAP program is for any person that's eligible. So you can apply, and if you're not eligible, then you're not going to get it. But many people are eligible and do not think that they are. There are income qualifications that are similar to income qualifications for Medicaid and for public housing. And that's what we are here for. We want you to ask us questions. So call us and we can help you understand if you might qualify for the program. If you're curious and you just don't know, fill out the application, submit it, and DHS will do their job and let you know if you qualify for the program. But there are resources out there that are available for you. And if we don't utilize them, if eligible folks are not applying for these programs, then we can't show that we're moving the needle, but we also can't address this issue in a really comprehensive way like we want to. So if you have any embarrassment or are, you know, feeling the stigma of being food insecure, please give us a call and we can talk you through why it's important to access help when you need it and not wait until it is such an emergency situation that, you know, your health is impacted. We want you to get the help that you need.
And going back into a policy discussion, Melvin, this is Arkansas Advocates has partnered with Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance for many, many, many years, decades, probably, on issues around hunger, food insecurity policy. But your position is new, and your part of your focus of your work is going to be food insecurity. Can you talk about what you expect that to look like and the work that Arkansas Advocates will start doing now because of it?
Sure. So as Rebecca stated, my position will have a lot of work to do around food insecurity. And so we definitely keep plan to keep the relationship with the Hunger Relief Alliance very strong, and working with Tommy and everyone at the food at the Hunger Relief Alliance. But also, I think that it's really important to get into communities and have conversations with people who are affected by food insecurity. I don't know, this could look like focus groups and that type of thing, but just really trying to get to the bottom of what they think or feel that the issues that are leading to their food insecurity are, and potential ways that we can assist them in moving that needle further away from that. Tommy talked about earlier how a lot of people are actually qualify for SNAP assistance, but just don't know it. I think in the state of Arkansas, around 500,000 people suffer from food insecurity, but less than like 400,000 of, like I think around 350,000 Arkansans are actually receiving SNAP benefits. So really trying to increase that number and helping people to realize that it's not something to be ashamed of if you're food insecure. It affects a lot more people than we think. And as Tommy also mentioned earlier, it's not a certain look. This isn't something that only affects people who may have not gone to college. There are people, tons of people who have college degrees who are food insecure and who are on SNAP assistance. So just really trying to move the needle and making sure that the conversation is changing in the state of Arkansas, and we're really helping people where they need this assistance.
I think going back to this issue of being ashamed, if anybody should be ashamed, it is the people who are taking away these benefits.
Absolutely.
From folks. So there is a policy opportunity here. And for the past 5 years, I can tell you that Arkansas, unfortunately, has really made it harder for people who do need help to get that help, especially around the SNAP program. And there's really only a handful of advocates at the Capitol that are fighting for access to public benefits. You've got a lot of other folks and high paid lobbyists that are fighting for businesses and fighting for, people that are maybe not facing poverty. So when we think about opportunities to make this program more accessible, I think Melvin's exactly right. Like the solutions to these challenges exist in the communities facing them. And we are here to support those communities in addressing these issues. And the way that we think is best may not always be the best. And right now, I feel like this year has taught me a lot about being on the defensive. We know what is coming from the federal level, and we know what is coming from the state level, and it's our time now to be fighting against those, but also to be proactive in thinking about ways to increase access to benefits that can change people's lives. And the only way for us to do that is to build trust with community and to really get their perspective on how to change the landscape of our state in terms of food insecurity.
You are listening to Speak Up Arkansas with Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. We're talking about hunger and food insecurity in Arkansas with Tommy Townley from Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance and Melvin Clayton from Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. And this show is being pre-recorded because you're listening to this on New Year's Day. So, go, Tommy, you mentioned there are a lot of efforts, both the state and federal level, to roll back food assistance programs. Can you explain the connection between federal policy on the hunger programs and state policy on hunger programs? And then we can go in depth about what's happening now.
I'm going to try my best.
Okay.
So at the federal level, SNAP is what they call an entitlement program. Some people hate that word. I think that it means that you are entitled to this program if you're eligible for it. So really what that means is there is a pot of money that is available to every single person that qualifies for that program. So SNAP is administered under the USDA and the FNS. So United States Department of Agriculture and the Food and Nutrition Service. So USDA is the big umbrella, and Food and Nutrition Service really manages the food assistance programs, including the National School Lunch Program, including WIC and SNAP and out-of-school meals, and all of those programs that our families and our children rely on to get food throughout the year. And all of that money is determined, and distributed based on census information. So I don't know if you've heard it from this program before, but the census is incredibly important. 2020, Happy New Year. This is a census year. We need you to participate in the census, because the more people are counted and the more information collected from the census, the more likely it is that we are going to get the funds necessary to address some of the major issues that our state is facing. There are large populations in our state that completely avoid the census for a variety of reasons. Distrust of the government, understandably. Lack of resources and information and forms in languages that are spoken in our state. Lack of understanding of what the census is. It is a big, a big deal, but why does it matter to me, and how am I gonna feel the impact of what filling out this form means? I can tell you that the dollars that are sent to our state are all determined on those census numbers. And if we don't have the correct number of people counted in our state, then we're not going to be able to get the dollars that we need to address some of our major issues.
And that's not just for hunger programs. That's also how much money we get for our highways and roads, how much money we get for our schools, how much money we get for healthcare, like Medicaid and our Kids First.
Everything. Everything is dependent on those census numbers. And if it's not representative, that's a huge issue. And if you have questions about it, I know that Arkansas Advocates would be happy to answer some questions. I can do my best and try to answer them too if you want to give us a call at the Alliance. But if you are not a part of a Complete Count Committee, we highly encourage that, because that is a way to get the get folks who have historically been undercounted counted by the census this year. That's kind of the federal structure. The Farm Bill is passed around every 5 years. That determines how much money SNAP receives, as well as like other agricultural programs or farmers. But the nutrition title of the Farm Bill is huge for the SNAP program. So that happened in 2018. And now really we're seeing the impact of the passage of the Farm Bill. So also, typically, I mean, that process happens with Congress, but the current administration was not able to pass some of the House version of the Farm Bill regulations and rules and changes to the SNAP program. So what they're doing is using administrative power and the USDA to propose rules and push some of the rules that were not passed in that House Farm Bill through the administrative process. And so a lot of those proposed rule changes will take food assistance away from families that desperately need them. And I can spend hours and hours talking about those, but I'm not going to. I will just tell you that if you qualify for SNAP, please apply for it. If you know somebody that might be eligible for the program, apply for it, because the way to combat some of the negative rhetoric around the program is to prove that it works. And the only way to do that is to make sure that the people who qualify for the program are accessing it. And I'm happy to talk about some of those federal policies if you'd like me to, Rebecca, if we have time at the end. But
well, if you could explain, and then that money funnels in the state, and then the state can make it additional requirements for these programs.
Right. So the money for the SNAP program is all federal money for the most part. 97% of the funds go directly to participants. So there's really only a small amount of the SNAP funding from the feds that goes to administering the program and some of the, you know, just the process of getting those benefits to households. And it's a big chunk of our state budget if you look at how much money comes from SNAP. So once the money goes to the various states, then the states have the ability to kind of not change the program, but work within federal regulations to make the program as effective as possible for state-specific needs. Arkansas, unfortunately, has been on the cutting edge of taking away some of the benefits that eligible Arkansans should have access to by restricting eligibility for the program through, you know, capping asset limits or how much money you can save at the federal level. So households that do not have somebody over 60 and do not have somebody with a disability in their household can only save $2,250 for their household. And while many of the people that I've worked with really, I mean, some of the people I've talked to are say, I'm negative in my account. It really hurts families who might be eligible for this program if not for that very strict rule of only being allowed to save $2,250. And our state has made it a legislative challenge. So like if we wanted to increase that asset limit, we would need to get approval from the legislature. In other states, all they would need to do is ask the feds to increase that limit or to eliminate that asset limit, which many states have. I believe over 40 states have eliminated the asset limit. And while some critics of that policy say that it's just going to open the floodgates for rich people to apply for SNAP, I can tell you that that's just not the case. I don't know any rich people that want to be on SNAP. I know that the system is strong enough to kick people who don't qualify for the program out of the program. They've really cranked up the anti-fraud activity on the program. The use of an electronic benefits transfer card was monumental. In, I believe it was 2008 was when we started using the EBT card versus the stamps. So that all is really addressing that issue of fraud. Less than 1% of the benefits that are distributed are trafficked in any way. When you compare that to other federal programs, it's just a shining star among the federal programs. But that's how the money flows. There's an allotted amount of money that really just is dependent on the number of people who are eligible for the program. Any person that's eligible has access to SNAP benefits. That money is given to the state so that they can pass that through the state agency directly to participants in the program. And then if our state decides to make it the program harder to access, they can work within the federal regulations to make it harder to access. Other states have really been amazing and making the program as accessible as possible, and increasing the amount of the benefits that people have access to. So if you are upset about the minimal amount of benefit that you're receiving, we want to hear that story, because that is most likely directly a result of some of our state policies that make the program harder to access and make the program less effective.
Melvin, it sounds like these some of the requirements for the programs are really complicated, and there's been a lot of efforts to roll back these programs. There are a lot of kids in the state, as we talked about at the top of the show, that are food insecure. How do you think that all these efforts to make it harder to access benefits, the amount of benefits that people receive, impacts kids and families in our state?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the way that the state of Arkansas is doing a lot of these things are definitely detrimental to a lot of children and their families. When we look at, you know, statistics where 23% of those kids in this state are already food insecure, this is before, like, a lot of other people are being kicked off. Like, the Trump administration recently passed legislation that's going to kick off over 600,000 people in the country. And I'm not exactly sure what number of people that, you know, what that translates to in the state of Arkansas, but that means that that number is going to increase. And we're going to have a lot more families who are food insecure and a lot more children who are hungry. So I think that if we're really living up to our old motto, I don't know if the state of Arkansas still uses it, but the land of opportunity, it can't be a land of opportunity if our students aren't showing up and they're not able to be their best selves. You think about it, if you're a student and you go to school and you're hungry, you can't concentrate, you can't focus, you might be a behavioral problem. And so it just seems like
you have health issues.
Yeah, you have, you know, it's a ripple effect of problems that you're going to be affected by throughout your life. So, yeah.
And I can't concentrate. Yeah. When I'm hungry, I can't concentrate. Yeah.
It's like the Snickers commercial.
Yeah.
Like you're hangry, you know, you're not yourself.
Absolutely. And then when you have that same issue consistently, that definitely turns into negative health outcomes that become very expensive and could even put you in more debt or lead you to deeper poverty. That's another unfortunate thing that Arkansas is on the top of lists for, is obesity and heart disease and all of these negative health outcomes from poverty, really. And just lack of access to quality foods in many areas of our state. I think that the word food desert is overused, but that is the reality for many, many communities. And really what that means is people have to travel often 10, 20, 30 miles to get to the nearest full-scale grocery store where there's fresh produce available. More than likely, it's convenience stores that are available. We know that SNAP is really, you can use SNAP at many of the retailers around the state, and that there are many smaller convenience stores that rely on those SNAP dollars flowing through their doors because it's a large population in their small community that qualify for SNAP and have to use that in order to make their food budgets work. And it's a small amount. Like, we're talking about $1.40 per person per meal. That's not enough. And unfortunately, even though this is a supplemental nutrition assistance program, many people are relying fully on that SNAP benefit. And we also know that 51% of SNAP participants are living at the federal poverty line, which is around a little over $12,000 a year. But more of them are closer to that 50% of the federal poverty line. So we're talking about $6,000 a year that you're surviving on, which is just unacceptable. And if SNAP continues to be attacked at both the federal and state level, and that program becomes less and less able to do what it was built to do, and more focused on things it was not built to do, like be a work program, then we're going to see the food insecurity rate increase, and we cannot be shocked by this. We have to be proactive about it. So I know that this is something I harp on quite a bit, but the program works, and you just can't deny some of the statistics of how this program in tandem with the other federal nutrition programs, is essential to digging us out of this situation, especially in Arkansas.
Again, you're listening to Speak Up Arkansas with Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. We're talking with the Hunger Relief Alliance and one of the policy experts at Arkansas Advocates about food insecurity in Arkansas. And Tommy, you mentioned food deserts, even though that might be an overused term, people having to drive long distances to access healthful foods. There's a lot of rural parts of the state where the Dollar General or the convenience store might be their only option to buy food, and they may or may not have access to transportation to get to that food. I have a few questions about that. First, because a lot of people only have those options and they are limited on their healthful options, there have been efforts at the state level to limit the types of food people can buy with their SNAP benefits. That doesn't really reflect the reality of people's access to certain foods. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So Representative Mary Bentley has proposed legislation for the past three legislative sessions that would limit the items that you could purchase with your SNAP benefit in the name of, you know, increasing access to nutritious foods. We know that restrictions on items typically do not lead to better purchases. Our registered dietitian on staff with the Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance, Sam Statter, created a really great video about how hard it is to determine which foods are healthy and which foods are not healthy, according to, you know, national groups. But that policy, you know, at the policy side of it is that the Federal Food and Nutrition Service has never ever granted a waiver to a state to limit access to certain foods under the SNAP program. So that's going to be a huge hurdle to overcome. The second piece of this is that this again would take away food from people. If you are telling me that I can only access certain types of foods and those foods are not available to me in my local convenience store or where I do the majority of my shopping, what do I have to eat? So I think that it is not from a place of being ugly. I think that people who have proposed this idea are really hoping that people make the best decisions with their food dollars and with a benefit that the federal government is providing.
Increase health outcomes, decrease obesity.
Yes, that's I think I have to believe that that's the goal. The way to do that is to work with communities and not treat them like children and take away something as important as their autonomy with food choice. I know that I am guilty of picking up some hot Cheetos and really enjoying them every once in a while. And I think that people in poverty deserve the same right. If something brings them comfort, they should have access to it. Should it be the only thing that they put into their body? Absolutely not.
But that may only have those options.
Yes, absolutely. And we know that this is a habit change that can take years and years. We also know that food is incredibly emotional, especially in the South. I've heard my friends and family from Arkansas say that food is love. Like, somebody dies, you take food to their family. Somebody has a baby, you bring them a casserole or some food. Like, that's the way that we show love. And to kind of wag a finger at families who are making decisions that they believe are the best for their families is not the way to change behavior. I think our nutrition education program is one of the ways, one of the solutions, and one of the opportunities for people to learn more about what can make them feel better, what foods and how to prepare foods that can really increase good quality items into their diet.
Can I add one thing to that? In the same vein that Tommy was speaking on about autonomy for people who are food insecure, I have a personal story about this where I was in a meeting last week and a lady, a mother of four children, she has four teenage sons, she said. She lives in a rural community and there's no grocery store in this community, just a mom and pop convenience store. And she was talking about how difficult it is to feed her children healthy food. Like, she says that she wants to feed her children, you know, fruits and vegetables, but this convenience store, there's not enough of a demand for the produce to come in, you know, frequent enough. So when she goes there, the produce is wilted or, you know, the bananas are rotten. And she said that the nearest convenient, like the nearest full service grocery store is like 25 minutes away from her. So, you know, it's so many people who don't suffer from these issues think that it's easy for people and that people are, you know, just being lazy or whatever the case may be. But many people across this state honestly do not have access to live, you know, these healthy lifestyles that everyone strives to live.
Right. Tommy, are there any program, like, for people, and there may very well not be, for people who do want to access, like, meat and dairy and fresh produce that they may not have as much access to, and there can, like, can they, is that very available at food pantries? Maybe not. Like, what is there anything people can do?
I know with some of the tariffs that have been placed on various countries under this administration, there's been an increase in the items that have been available at food banks, but that's temporary. So I think, you know, our beef project that the Alliance is working with is really one option, but it's definitely not full scale enough to serve every single food pantry in the state. But that program is all about, you know, farmers or ranchers can donate cattle, and that cow gets processed and distributed to different food pantries so that there are, you know, a diverse options for protein at certain food pantries. But it's not something that's readily available, and it's definitely a request from a lot of food pantry visitors that there's more meat items available and more dairy items available. But there's no program that I know of that's really increasing tons of that, you know, meat and dairy specifically.
And there's Hunters Feeding the Hungry too, if you like game meat, like deer and duck, and
those can be
donated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To various food banks and food pantries. I think there's more of a focus, which is great, on produce. So there's produce prescription programs that are very successful in other states, where doctors can prescribe going to a farmer's market or you know, a voucher if they're partnering with a store where they can go pick up some fresh produce and not have to pay for it, which is incredibly helpful, especially for, you know, diabetic patients and other patients that might be facing some dietary challenges. And then
that reminds me, I think I've heard of like a local hospital who's trying to start just like a mint, like have just a bit of food items that they can hand out to patients.
Yeah, so Children's Hospital is our big partner, the Alliance's big partner. Not only do they offer Cooking Matters classes and Cooking Matters like tours on a regular basis, a rolling basis, but then they also partner with a food pantry right down the street from them. So if a family is visiting Children's Hospital from out of the community and within the community, and they answer a 2-question food insecurity screener, and it identifies that they are facing food insecurity, they get a form that allows them to go get a free box of food at Helping Hand. It's an excellent program, and they also have a garden on their campus. So they also, you know, have fresh produce items within those Children's Hospital bags for patients' families. This is a great model, and also understandably not available in every single community. This is a metro city, and there's more resources here than there are in, say, Gurdon, Arkansas. So I think the beautiful thing that's happening in some of the smaller, more rural communities is that they are working collaboratively and together to figure out what the gaps are, and, you know, pushing their business leaders to be more engaged in the conversation. Another beautiful thing that happens in Arkadelphia, one of my favorite community pantries is an ecumenical pantry. So when churches can come together and address a need in their community as a team, not only does that bring in people that maybe wouldn't feel as comfortable going to a Catholic food pantry, but it shows that the religious community is working together to address a need. But the availability of produce is a challenge, not only for people facing food insecurity, but for some of these businesses. If they're not able to sell that produce, that's money wasted. So I think that's why it's important to really build the knowledge base and to build the skill base from people facing food insecurity. And there's not a lot of, I think that convenience is also a challenge. If I'm a mom of three and I'm working two jobs and my kids are going to school and I am exhausted by the end of the day, I likely am not going to want to go home and spend 2 hours creating a meal and serving it. Convenience is something we're fighting against in some ways, because it is much easier to roll through a drive-thru than it is to go to the store, pick up the food, prepare the food, serve the food, clean up the meal. Like it's tough. And that all goes back to just poverty in general, less about food insecurity, because we know that food insecurity is just really a symptom of a larger issue.
We have about 10 minutes left on the show today. For people who do have SNAP benefits or they're trying to access SNAP benefits, how can they learn about their rights and what can they do if they feel like they're being treated unfairly and that they should be getting benefits or a certain amount of benefits or being denied?
It is always available to every participant or applicant to say those words out loud. If you feel like the person that you are working with, the caseworker that you are assigned, is treating you unfairly or not giving you the information that you need, ask for a supervisor. If you are still feeling like that is a situation that makes you feel unsafe or mistreated and you are being discriminated against, there are policies in place that protect you. So every single application and every time that somebody is provided an EBT card, they are also provided an anti-discrimination form. There's a number on that form that I don't have in front of me, and I'm sorry for that, that you can call and report that discrimination. The other thing you can do is, that's my favorite part of my job is administrative advocacy. If I have the ability to use the connections that we have, because we have a contract with DHS to get the right person to to check out an application and figure out why somebody was denied and identify if it was denied unfairly, that it's a win to be able to get that person benefits. Mm-hmm. So the Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance SNAP team is really hungry for opportunities to use. to use our skills and to flex that muscle, because it's scary. If you are listening to this show and you are not a person who has ever faced food insecurity and you don't know what it's like to go into a DHS office, just check it out. Like, go walk yourself into a DHS office and go pick up an application, or go, you know, say hello to the front service person. But imagine being in the position of kind of pushing this thing off that you know you've needed to do for a long time because you're embarrassed or because you didn't have the time available and you're facing a food crisis. You walk into the door and you're met with somebody who maybe is having a really hard day. Caseworkers get paid very little and are expected to understand a giant mountain of policy on their first day. And that's not always easy. And sometimes how that looks from the outside is that they're being rude. And sometimes people are rude. But for the most part, they're just trying to survive and they're trying to get through their day. And when you walk in the door and You're already frustrated because you're hungry, understandably. Many times y'all are not speaking the same language. And I've been in a similar situation, walking into a DHS office and being ready to like have it out with a caseworker because somebody felt like they were being treated unfairly. And if you go in expecting to have a bad experience, likely you will walk out having a bad experience. And it is up to the caseworker and to the supervisor in the office to make you feel safe. I think it's really important to understand how hard it is to first ask for help. And then the second part that's really hard is to actually qualify and get access to that help.
And we, with the time we have left, for people who may not be facing food insecurity themselves, but they want to help people who are food insecure advocate on food insecurity issues, how can they go about doing that? And how can they connect with both of your organizations and you, yourself specifically?
Sure. So I think that one way, and this is something that we talked about quite a few times throughout the conversation today, but connecting with local food banks and food pantries, I think that they always need donations. So that's something that can be helpful to people. I don't know, Tommy, what are some things that...
Yeah, we are always looking for opportunities to talk with folks on the ground. So if you are a service provider and you are interested in learning how to help people qualify and access SNAP, we lead SNAP application assistance trainings around the state. Really, that can be any group, even if it's just encouraging folks to learn more about the program so that when they're asked about it, they're not just telling people not to apply. That's a part of what we want to be doing. We're always looking for SNAP Outreach volunteers. Again, our phone number is 501-399-9999. You can call and ask for the SNAP team.
Can you say that one more time a little bit slowly?
Sure. 501-399-9999. And our website is arhungeralliance.org. We have a Facebook, we have a Twitter, we have an Instagram. You can find us on all the things. Give it a goog. We also have various volunteer opportunities that you can plug into. I'm going to beg you to be a part of our advocacy team because that's something people run in the other direction when I ask them to help me with, because it does seem a little overwhelming, but we need help. So if you care about people living in poverty, some of the most important opportunities are maybe things that you haven't thought of. So like if you have administrative skills, it's incredibly important for us to have folks that are willing to make calls and willing to advocate for people through the administration. We always are looking for people to make public comments when any rule change is proposed. We also love for folks to be engaged during a legislative session. The next legislative session is 2021. We are going to have a hunger summit in April. April 1st, more information on the way. You can check us out on Facebook for that information. And then we always have a lobby day, usually in February of the legislative session year, so in 2021. And I will be, posting information about that. But bodies in the Capitol, bodies in districts, talking to elected officials about why it's important to address poverty in the state cannot be underappreciated. Like we need people to share their story, and we need people to share stories of people that they love and care about that are living in poverty.
Laws reflect the people that show up.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Laws reflect the people that show up.
And Melvin, how can people connect with you at Arkansas Advocates?
Sure. So our website is aradvocates.org. But we're on all the social medias as well. So the Facebooks, we've got our Twitter, our Instagram. You can connect with us in those ways. But my direct email address is mclayton, C-L-A-Y-T-O-N, @aradvocates.org. Feel free to shoot me an email if you have questions, comments, concerns, anything like that.
Well, thank you all for listening today. And we will be back on the show in February. Take care.